There's another march calling for more school safety and gun control this coming Saturday in Washington, another response to the Parkland school shooting. But there's also InfoWars host Alex Jones, leading conspiracy theorists who deny the shooting ever happened. In fact, he called the teenage survivor David Hogg a crisis actor. He made similar claims about Brennan Gilmore, who filmed the violence at that white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. Now Brennan is suing Jones. We'll speak with him tomorrow. And Jones' followers have also been berating members of the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, who lost 26 fellow parishioners in that mass shooting in November, including the 14-year-old daughter of the pastor. The conspiracy theorists accuse church members of being part of a vast red flag operation run by the federal government carried out by crisis actors. Pastor Frank Pomeroy and his wife Sherry join us now, and we are so sorry for your loss, Annabelle. And now this. Look, this couple has been arrested. What were they saying to you?
Well, they have been coming to the neighborhood ever since day one, for the most part, and accusing all the neighbors, the parishioners, everyone involved, that we are all traitors to our country because we are trying to carry out a Department of Homeland Security drill to entice the rest of the country to have to live in fear, and that none of our family members or loved ones have existed, that this was all made up, and that we are all, each one of us individually, working together some overall plot against America.
These are Jody Mann and Robert Usery. They're not the only ones doing this, but they believe, as others do, that 33 tragedies are all fake, all part of this vast government's conspiracy. And by the way, this is propagated by Alex Jones. I know you found yourself having to have a confrontation with these two conspiracy theorists because they were writing what on the whiteboard outside your church?
We did not choose to integrate ourselves with these people. They unfortunately engaged with us. The other day, they got out to deface one of the posters from one of the well-wishers that we have hanging on our fence, and I was able to step out of my vehicle, and that's when the berating and the hollering and everything else started on me at that point.
Had you known about this, Pastor, that this has happened to the Sandy Hook parents, to others, and again, it's propagated by the Alex Jones?
To be honest, I remember during Sandy Hook hearing about people who were denying the validity and the reality of what had happened up in Sandy Hook. However, I guess I've never put much credence in those kinds of things and never really listened to it. So I didn't realize just how serious these people can be and how vicious, actually, these people can be when they come down and try to prove their alternate reality.
Well, it's all about their belief that this is a plot to take away guns. What has happened post this horror at your church and the loss of your child, as you know, is different from what we're seeing post Parkland. You're more of a gun-owning community. In fact, I understand that you carry a gun to your church every Sunday legally, and you gave one to Sherry for Christmas.
That is true. Guns are just a part of who we are in South Texas, and carrying a sidearm is not something unusual. The ideology that came out of Parkland just wouldn't ever remotely grow legs down here in South Texas, I don't believe.
Can you explain that, you know, the culture of deer hunting and self-protection? But can you explain that to people, you know, how you feel this is protecting you when there are people who feel, you know, a gun in a church might be the problem?
Correct. So when you look at South Texas, we do look at sidearms and firearms in general as something, as you just said, utilized for hunting, self-protection. When I was confronting these people, I had about a very tense 15 minutes with this gentleman while I was waiting on law enforcement to get there. Now, luckily, he wasn't armed and doing anything silly, pulling a sidearm. However, if he had of, I would have been able to defend myself at that point in that 15 minutes waiting on law enforcement to get there.
But is it complicated, your feeling about this thing that you feel will protect you but also took so many lives?
No, I am not one that is an avid person, right or left. I believe there are some sensible gun control issues that need to be debated and brought forth. However, I don't believe that taking away the right of owning a sidearm is something that should be thought on either.
When you say sidearm, you know, a pistol, how do you feel about rifles that can be made to fire rapid fire like assault rifles? Should there be more restrictions on them?
Well, I am one of the few that do believe that there's not much use for automatic weapons in the hands of civilians. I understand there is the hog populations and such where they utilize those kinds of weapons. But I also understand, too, the fear of that being a first step. If folks was to say, oh, yes, we're going to relent and allow the semi-automatic weapons to be taken from us, then the next step is going to be our sidearms. I don't really buy into that mantra. Therefore, my personal opinion is that we probably do not need the military assault-style rifles. Mm. That's coming from a hunter. I have 23 rifles, different styles, and I do not own an assault rifle. I see no point in it for me.
Why would you want to tear apart a deer, you know, if you're going to...
Exactly.
Yeah. What would you like to see?
We have a mental health crisis in this country. I believe that should be addressed. That should be the primary focus over the sidearms. The gentleman that I was having to confront in the beginning, I believed him probably just wanting attention and or notoriety of some sort. However, once engaging with him for 15 minutes, I realized by looking into his eyes, he not only believes some of the things he's saying, but you could just see that he's not engaging with the real world the way everyone else is. And that's the kind of things that need to be addressed, I think, more than the gun control issues.
Hmm. Can I speak with Sherry?
You sure may.
Yeah. This is Sherry. I'm just wondering, Sherry, how have you felt to have this element, you know, you're going through this, having lost a child and all these friends, and have this horror come into your church, and then these people come and tell you it's not true?
Yes, ma'am. It's been just a nightmare. They're just opening wounds and pouring salt in.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And then I'm wondering, too, another shooting, and the response to the shooting at Parkland, the marches, you see these kids.
Well, I've purposely tried to not watch any of that because it's just too fresh and too raw right now. Yeah. So I've been so busy trying to heal and get our life back to some kind of normal. You just learn to go on. One day, not even one day at a time, one breath at a time. I mean, you can be just, you know, smiling one minute and something will hit you, a memory will come, and that's it. It's just, you know, we all lost a lot of friends and family, and we're just muddling through one breath at a time.
Yeah. And again, we're struck by how these are two very different communities wrestling with this. In Parkland, parents and children are calling for more gun control, banning assault weapons, tighter background checks. Here you are in a gun culture, and we're seeing that Frank gave you one for Christmas, and you were a little ambivalent about this. I mean, it was for self-protection, but...
Well, it's a new world for us. Our whole world has changed. I've never been a person of fear. We live in a community where it's not uncommon to leave your house unlocked if you run down the road or your car's unlocked. And when you go into Walmart, we just live in a small, safe town where we feel comfortable. And it's turned it upside down to where the new normal is, I feel safer to be carrying a gun, where before it never crossed my mind, but now it's become more personal.
Mm. So things have changed for you in another way. But as you fend off these conspiracy theorists, how can other people help you? How can people outside Sutherland, whether or not they believe in people carrying guns, you know, whether they disagree with that, how can they help you?
Just stop going to their sites and giving them credence, because that's, you know, what keeps them going.
Yeah. But, I mean, also just help you all heal in general. Do you want to tell us about Annabelle? Is it better not to speak of her? What do you need?
No, I do need to speak, and we have a support group, and we talk, and it's a slow process. Some people are still at the very beginning of the grief process. Some people are, you know, a little farther along, and we've got to be respectful not to push each other past what we can handle.
you've stayed away, and understandably, from watching the Parkland kids and all the kids across the country marching. But many of them are holding signs for all the young victims of guns, and that includes your daughter, Annabelle.
Yes, but we're trying not to focus on her manner of death in our grieving process. Because, like my husband has stated, you know, it wasn't the gun that killed her. Somebody pulled a trigger. And that's, I believe, is a mental health issue. So if we don't get a hold of the mental health issue, then we've not done a good service.
That's Sherry Pomeroy with her husband Frank of the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas, still recovering after a mass shooter killed 26 of their parishioners, including their daughter Annabelle. Again, so sorry. And again, now conspiracy theorists are telling them it wasn't real. Sherry, Frank, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us on.